This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome to Coaching the Life Coach, business strategies to grow your transformational practice. I'm your host, Jason McClain, and today we're talking about emotional mastery and purpose.
There's almost like an invisible force that is actually pulling you and assisting you in some pretty incredible ways.
Our guest is Kevin Cole with Empowerment Quest International. Welcome, Kevin.
It's a pleasure to be here, Jason.
Kevin is known for compassion, creativity, and an unwavering commitment to achieving results with his clients. I'm pleased to have you with us today, Kevin. I think our listeners are going to really benefit from listening to this podcast about emotional mastery and about purpose. Today, we'll be getting to emotional mastery first, and then we'll actually get into the subject of neurolinguistic programming, or NLP. And then last, we'll get into purpose. For each of these subjects, we'll talk about what they are, why they're important, how specifically you can achieve them, or do them, or incorporate them into your life, and what they'll make possible if you do. So, Kevin, first I want to talk to you about emotional mastery. So, Kevin, what is emotional mastery?
Well, Jason, emotional mastery is simply being able to guide your own thoughts and emotions at your own will, as opposed to being at the mercy or the control of them. And what I mean by that is when we are in control of our own emotions, or learn to guide them, so to speak, we no longer are at the mercy of having a bad day, whether it be argument with your boss, spouse, or even a death in the family.
Gotcha. And why is it so beneficial? I mean, obviously, you know, if you can move through something even like a death in the family or a bad day rapidly, that's obviously beneficial. But can we go a little bit more detail into why emotional mastery is important?
Absolutely, absolutely. And let me expand on it by saying that emotional mastery is absolutely essential to a person's success at anything that they strive for in life. Without being able to control your own emotions, again, we are at the mercy of our own surroundings and what happens to us. By this, I mean that in order for us to feel good without obtaining emotional mastery, we have to wait for something good to happen to us. And if something bad happens to happen to us, then again, we are at the mercy of whatever that may be. So we have no control over our lives without it.
Gotcha. So it sounds like with emotional mastery, you just have a lot more choice and a lot more assurance of your own success in life and in relationships, things of that nature.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if I may give you a very personal story to me, just so that people out there that aren't saying, well, it's just not that easy. 13 years ago, I attempted to end my own life on two separate occasions. So obviously, I did not at the time have a clue that we had any control over the way that we felt with our own emotions. And to give you an idea of what the kind of things that I had been through, obviously, I didn't have the greatest life before that time. But among many of my other challenges, for one, I was raised by a mother who suffered from very severe schizophrenia. She happened to pass away when I was at the age of 12. So I personally had no idea that we had any control over the way that we felt. And obviously, something like that going on, of course, there's going to be some negative emotions. So among many of the things that I learned later on, which we'll be getting into in just a moment, including NLP, I learned that we do have control over the way that we feel, and sometimes it can be as simple as just changing our own physiology.
Great. Well, you know, my next question, of course, is, so we know what it is, we know why it's important. How specifically can you achieve emotional choice and emotional mastery?
Well, there are many ways, first of all. There's no silver bullet, but you can achieve emotional mastery the same way that you achieve any form of mastery, and that is through practice. It's not something that you just, you know, learn some skills and just do them once or twice. And
you can't buy it over the internet?
Oh. Unfortunately not. It will help. It will help. But unfortunately, you can read a great book. You can have a great coach even. But if you don't practice what you learn from these books and these coaches or this seminar, whatever, if you don't continually practice, then it will fade, bottom line.
One of the things I like to say to my own clients is that there's a difference and a gap always between insight and integration, or knowledge and behavior. And really, the game of personal development is about closing that gap shrinking that gap. And if you took just one good idea, one good principle, and rigorously applied it to your life, you'd get even further than somebody who's been exposed to a bunch of incredible ideas and never integrated them into their lives behaviorally at all. Of course, we don't have to stop at just one. We can rigorously apply many ideas to our lives. But
absolutely. But you're absolutely correct. And I actually don't happen to be a martial artist, but I know that certain forms of martial arts are just three or four different techniques that are practiced vigorously and continuously, and you never stop. And those people do go on to be masters of those particular martial arts. So I couldn't agree with you more there.
Great. So give us some specific practices that you assign to your clients.
Well, there's many that I assign. And again, there is no silver bullet. But one of the key factors is that I educate people on how to catch themselves in the act of the opposite of emotional mastery, meaning that if they might be obsessing over an argument that they had earlier, or they might be stuck in traffic, or even imagining the worst to come for a conversation that they're going to be having later that day.
So first you teach them awareness.
I teach them awareness, yes.
Great.
And just to how to catch themselves in the act. Mm-hmm. And then what I teach them is I teach them that all emotions, good and bad, serve a purpose. So although I teach them skills on how to change the way they feel, I always teach them to pause for a moment.
Yes.
Sometimes even write it down and just ask, what is the message here? What is the lesson?
Mm. And that's before they try and change it, perhaps.
Exactly, exactly. Because I speak from personal experience on this. When I first started learning some of these skills, a lot of what I learned was, you know, just change your physiology, you know, move, you know, jump up and down even.
Sure, sure.
And yes, it will make you change your state. But
for some period of time, yes.
Exactly, exactly. But the thing is that there is a message to be heard. Mm. And it's almost like, you know, that FedEx guy coming to your door. He's not going to go away until you pick up that package and get the message.
That's right.
He may go away temporarily.
Yeah, but there will be that little note on your door, that little sticky saying there's a package for you to come pick up.
Exactly. And he will be back. He will be back. You might be like, okay, I didn't feel like answering the door right then. I just wanted to avoid it. And feel something different, you know, maybe just drink a Coca-Cola and feel better at the moment, whatever it may be. But bottom line is that knock on the door is going to come again and again and again until you learn to listen to it.
Right.
So what I teach is I teach to pay attention to what that message is, heed the message, and then change your state.
Great.
Sometimes just getting the message alone makes you feel spectacular as it is, so there's really nothing else you need to do. But other times you still need to just practice the opposite, meaning if you were stuck in a particular negative state, you know, just practice smiling more and catch yourself in the act continuously.
Fantastic. And Kevin, what is emotional mastery? If people were to achieve that, or at least emotional choice, which is certainly the first step, what would that make possible in their lives? What does that open up for them or allow for?
Well, it opens up pretty much all doors. And one of them, again, we'll be getting to a little bit later, is that it opens up understanding more of what your true purpose is. Because most likely, if you have not achieved emotional mastery, your main focus has been towards negative experiences on a continual basis. So what it does is it opens up so much to you, including being able to find a better career, including being able to figure out what you really love and what you're truly passionate about in life. And essentially, it just allows you to live life to the fullest, as opposed to being at the mercy of your own thoughts and emotions.
Great. And when people achieve emotional mastery, what can they expect? Even further than what it allows for, what can they expect in terms of the results in their life?
Well, so much. And when I say that, I mean they can expect to have better relationships. They can expect to have better health. They can expect to have things come into their life that they never would have expected to come into their life. Because bottom line is, people generally, well, let me rephrase that. People that you want to be around generally don't like being around people that are in negative states all the time.
Well, that's right. That's right. People prefer to be inspired, I think.
Absolutely.
Rather than either be constant support or be drugged down by certain people.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And great. those who like to be around negative people generally are very negative themselves.
Yes. Co-miserate.
Exactly.
Well, we're colleagues in misery, right?
Yes, exactly.
I've always thought that word was hysterical and accurate. and accurately. Well, Kevin, we're going to take a short break to support our sponsors. This is Jason McLean, and I'm here with Kevin Cole, and we'll be right back.
PersonalLifeMedia.com. Free internet audio programs on life, love, and the pursuit of happiness. Listen from your browser, iTunes, your iPod, or MP3 player today at PersonalLifeMedia.com.
We're back, and I'm your host, Jason McLean, and we're speaking with Kevin Cole about emotional mastery, purpose, and neuro-linguistic programming. And before the break, we were talking about emotional mastery. And Kevin, I want to ask you something about neuro-linguistic programming. And first, what is neuro-linguistic programming?
Well, Jason, NLP has many different definitions because there are so many techniques, philosophies, and healing modalities that have been combined over the years into a structured format that is continually growing and evolving. So many of the lessons in NLP, by the way, are thousands of years old, and many of the techniques are some of the most advanced scientific tools for change on the planet today. So for me to really give a simple definition of what NLP is, frankly, is a little bit challenging. However, I will tell you that my personal favorite definition of NLP is that it is simply a user's manual for your brain. Okay? And to add to that, some of the most powerful lessons that this owner's manual teaches us is how we individually process information through our mental and physical senses, and how we can use this understanding to guide our own thoughts and emotions, it may sound a little familiar, in some extremely empowering ways.
So, an owner's manual for your brain. I think we could all benefit from having one of those. At the same time, I think if we were born with it, I'm not sure many of us would have read it. I mean, how many of us have read the manual for our VCR?
and that's the thing. We are born with it. However, as I've heard it said many times before, it's a user's manual, but it's not necessarily user-friendly. So, again, it's taken a lot of techniques over, again, thousands of years to the most modern cutting-edge scientific techniques today to evolve NLP.
Perfect. So that's what NLP is. Why is it important?
Well, Jason, to answer that question, allow me to just give you a brief example. And let's say that someone is playing a movie, if you will, over and over in their head of an argument that they may have had earlier. Again, could be with your spouse, could be with your boss, could be with your child. Whatever it may be, you may be playing this film, if you will, over and over in your head, or perhaps even constructing something that hasn't happened yet. Now, with NLP, instead of trying to just not think about it, which, by the way, 9 out of 10 times is just not possible. I mean, to give you the common example in my field, oftentimes people say, okay, don't think of a purple elephant. Of course, your mind has to imagine the purple elephant in order to not think about it. So it's not a matter of trying to not think about something.
At the very least, that's a two-step process, right? Even if you are successful at it. But the unconscious mind, of course, doesn't understand negation.
Exactly. So with NLP, what you can do is literally change some of the submodalities, if you will. And what I mean by that is that you can change some of the things that you are seeing and hearing. So now, Jason, what I mean by that, what I mean by changing the submodalities of some things that they are seeing and hearing, I mean actually going inside your own head and changing the tonality. And in some cases, even playing the video or the film, if you will, literally playing it backwards in your own head, and oftentimes even hearing music. And as strange as this may sound, what this does when you play it backwards and then play it forwards again, and then what this does is it totally scrambles the neurological connections that have formed in your brain that causes you to feel what you feel when you think about this particular memory or this created memory, if you will, meaning something that hasn't even occurred yet.
Sure. Since the time of the Buddha, 2,500 years now, it's in the East, it's been common knowledge that we don't respond to reality. We respond to our sense organs and the way we interpret that. Pictures, sounds, feelings, smells, tastes. And the Buddha said imagination. NLP, of course, says language. What's funny is that the West didn't pick that up until Kant, who said we don't experience reality directly. We experience it through these never objective filters, tools. Help me the same sense organs.
Kant. I'm not familiar with Kant.
Immanuel Kant. And our listeners can, of course, look him up on their own if they like. It's K-A-N-T. But really, back to neurolinguistic programming, you know, I'm curious how specific, like, you've given us a little bit of the how, but give us some more tools so that people can walk away with a real sense after listening to this of how they could use neurolinguistic programming to improve their lives.
Well, I'm actually really glad you asked that, and I'll actually give you an example of something that people can do right now. Okay, and by the way, I want to mention that if anyone happens to be listening to this podcast in their car, if you are really excited to try this, okay, go ahead and pull over and do this, but whatever you do, do not do this while driving, okay? And you'll understand why in just a moment. But for those people who are not driving and can do this, what I would like you to do is simply to stand up. I don't care if this seems a little strange. Obviously, if you're listening to this on your iPod, there's probably no one else around. So what I want you to do is just literally just stare straight up at the ceiling. And what I want you to do is just smile ear to ear to the point where it literally, you know, you can feel the muscles starting to strain. And then what I want you to do is just notice how by simply changing your physiology in this particular way, what happens is you literally start to release a small amount, and in some cases a large amount of serotonin, which of course is sort of the happy chemical in your brain. And by just doing this, you can literally change the way that you feel. And if you're just having a bad day, take some time out and, you know, maybe instead of or along with just taking a couple deep breaths, do this particular exercise. And I also want to mention very briefly, some people I know are listening to this and like, well, there's going to be times where I just don't feel like doing this. First of all, I say do it anyway. But second of all, I'll give you another option. One thing that you can do that is very, very simple, and you can even do at your desk. Let's say that you're, you know, you're furious at your boss and you're just having a really, really bad day and you don't want to embarrass yourself by just, you know, going to the bathroom or something and just staring at the ceiling. What you can do is just simply take a pen, stick it between your teeth, and nobody's going to question this because a lot of people do this. Stick it between your teeth and just do it in a way that sort of simulates a smile. And of course, it's not a full smile, but it still releases a very small amount of serotonin to your brain because it's telling your brain, wait a minute, we're smiling. We're doing the same thing. And it's going to release those same chemicals.
That mind-body connection.
Exactly.
It's all one system. It's just amazing, isn't it?
Mind, body, and spirit. Absolutely.
So, Kevin, I'm curious, neurolinguistic programming, if people really get access to these tools, what will it make possible in their lives? Or what will it make available to them?
Well, it will, again, everything that's emotional mastery will make available to them. However, there's so much more. I mean, there's the possibilities with NLP are absolutely endless. I mean, your communication skills with people are just incredibly increased. Your ability to learn faster increases tremendously. Let me put it this way. Anything you would like to be better at, you can learn how to do with NLP.
I think we should leave that right there. So anything you want to be better at.
I say anything that with full confidence.
Anything you want to excel at, achieve at, or do more effectively, NLP or neurolinguistic programming can assist you in doing that.
100%.
That's fantastic. Well, we're going to take a short break to support our sponsors. This is Jason McLean, and I'm with Kevin Cole, and we'll be right back.
Download Hit On with DJ Star D. New music for your personal life from personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and I'm your host, Jason McLean. And I'm here talking with Kevin Cole about neurolinguistic programming before the break. And Kevin, now I want to talk to you about purpose. What is purpose?
Well, Jason, purpose is what gives meaning to everything that has ever happened to us, both good and bad, or what may seem good and bad, and is something that is within alignment with what is most important to each individual and what they're most passionate about in life. That's basic answer.
Okay. And why is purpose important? Can you really give us some detail around why purpose is important?
Well, I'll put it this way, Jason. I personally believe that understanding your true purpose is absolutely valuable, or for that matter, invaluable, for people to discover so that they can continually be pulled in life. with an absolute pleasure and joy that most people don't get to truly appreciate. In life, for example, you may have dreams that you want to achieve, but most of the time, we have to continually push ourselves to achieve that dream. Like, let's say you want to have a family and you want to have a big house, whatever it may be. All too often, we have to push ourselves for it. But when you live your life on purpose, although you may have to push yourself on occasion, for the most part, there is risk of sounding a little out there. There's almost like an invisible force that is actually pulling you and assisting you in some pretty incredible ways.
So pulling, being pulled by something or called by something, rather than having to kind of push and trudge through and generate from nothing the things that you want. Is that part of what you're saying?
That's part of it, but it's all too often. I mean, I have clients all the time that say, well, you know what? I'll be honest with you, Kevin. I just don't want to get out of bed in the morning sometimes.
Sure.
Which, by the way, we've all been through. And even when you live your life on purpose, doesn't mean that, you know, you may not want to sleep in a little bit extra. We all do. but bottom line is, when you are living your life on purpose, everything changes. You don't want to go to bed at night because you're just so inspired and just want to continually move towards your purpose, and you literally can't wait to get up in the morning.
So it seems like it's both about living an inspired life, but also a fulfilled life.
Absolutely. It's finding that it's aligning what's most important to you in life and just sort of integrating what's most important to you in life and realizing this is part of your purpose.
Mm. Well, Kevin, my next question then is, how does someone discover their purpose? I mean, this sounds so exciting to be able to uncover.
Well, again, this is something that goes back thousands of years. Since the beginning of time, there's been many different ways that people discover their true purpose in life. But one particular way that I will give you is, well, the first step is to simply ask, what is my purpose? And continually ask. You will start coming up with answers, just like going on the internet. And for those of you that are familiar with AskJeeves.com. So that's the first step. And one simple, although not necessarily the most effective way, is to simply ask yourself, what is my true purpose in life? And write down every answer that comes to your mind until the answer you write literally brings you to tears of joy. Now, again, this is one way, and again, this is unfortunately not always the most accurate or effective way. But for those people that would just are curious about it and would like to start digging in that realm, that's something that I would suggest.
So they can begin exploring in their own mind that way, in their own heart.
Exactly.
Wonderful. Yeah. And Kevin, when someone is living a purpose-filled life, what does that make possible in life? What does it open up, or what does it allow for?
Well, again, Jason, living a life on purpose, what it does is, again, just like a lot of what we've talked about today, it opens everything up. It completely changes your experience, not only day to day, but minute by minute. You start noticing things that are leading you onto your purpose, and you start changing the way that you felt about what you thought were negative events in the past, because you start learning how they were a part of what your true purpose is. And how, one of the ways that I like to look at it, is a lot of my quote unquote negative experiences were simply training to get me where I am today. And I happen to, at the risk of sounding arrogant, I happen to like myself a great deal. And I am able to look back at my past experiences and say, if I didn't go through that, I would not be who I am today.
Sure.
And I went through that because that is what was meant to have happened to lead me in my purpose, in my true purpose in life.
I think everybody should like themselves a great deal. Even love themselves. I think it's the most important love affair you can have.
Absolutely. I was actually going to say that, but I didn't want to sound too arrogant. But I do actually, that is one of the, by the way, that is one of the things that I teach my clients to do. It's one of the key factors. I won't get too into it, but two things that I target, self-love and forgiveness. Because without those two, no real work can be done. But again, I won't get too into that.
Indeed. So Kevin, we're almost out of time, but I want to ask you one more question. What do you attribute your success as a coach to? If you were to pick one principle or one concept, what do you attribute your success as a coach to?
Well, if I had to choose one thing or give you one answer, I would say I do not teach theory. Okay, what I mean by that is I have learned these skills on myself. I have mastered them on myself before I teach them to other people, because I do not want to teach just theory. I want to make sure that I understand how these processes, these techniques, and these philosophies work and make sure that they do work.
It's fantastic. I bet that gives you not only credibility with your clients, but it also allows, because you've had the life that you have, it allows you to relate to them wherever their mind and heart is at as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I will also be honest with the client. There are certain things that I simply can't relate to that I have not experienced. And I will be very honest with them about that and try to explain to them in a different way that I may be able to relate. But I'll never pretend to understand another person's experience.
Gotcha. Well, Kevin, you do one-on-one coaching over the phone, in person?
Both.
Okay. And how can people reach you?
Well, there's two different ways that they can reach me. Either you can send me an email. You can send it directly to kevin@empowermentquest.com. Of course, you could also check out my website, which is www.empowermentquest.com. And for those that would like to give me a call directly, please feel free. You could reach me at 1-888-95-QUEST. That's 1-888-95-QUEST. Or numerically, of course, 1-888-957-8378. Again, that's 888-957-8378.
Well, thank you, Kevin, for joining us and sharing your wisdom and insight.
Well, thank you for allowing me to be here.
Again, my name is Jason McClain. You can reach me via email at jason@personallifemedia.com. And there's two L's in personallifemedia.com. You can also reach me through my website, evolutionaryawareness.com. That brings us to the end of our show. Thank you for listening. For text and transcripts of this show and other shows on the Personal Life Media Network, please visit our website at personallifemedia.com. This is your host, Jason McClain, your guide for your personal evolution.
Find more shows like this on personallifemedia.com.